It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We get an update now on our state's childcare staffing crisis and proposals in the upcoming two-year budget that seek to stabilize the childcare industry, making it more accessible for families. Call in with your questions about childcare, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Emily Amundson is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. Secretary Amundson, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's so nice to be with you this morning.
Well, acknowledging today across the nation, people are holding Day Without Childcare events to advocate for better childcare equity and the workforce wages and affordability. What challenges is Wisconsin facing? What is the picture right now in childcare here?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're not familiar, a day without childcare, as you mentioned, happening all over the country, but here in Wisconsin, really robust participation across the state. And it's because, frankly, over the past 10 years, we've seen a real precipitous decline in the number of childcare providers we have in the state of Wisconsin. In our state, we've lost about 32% of our programs, and that was even pre-pandemic. It's more difficult for folks to find that high quality care that they're looking for, whether it's in a center or whether it's in family-based care in somebody's home. It's much more difficult to find. If you live in a rural part of the state, chances are you're living in a childcare desert, which means that there just simply aren't enough spaces for working families who need them. And that coupled with the fact that there are far fewer folks coming into the profession because of historically low wages, benefits that sometimes just aren't even there. We see a lot of folks really grappling with the question of whether they close up shop and frankly, whether they leave the profession altogether. And so a day like today, a day without childcare, is a day to bring that whole puzzle out into the general public, into the general conversation. And what I would say to folks who are at work today is ask folks with young kids, what would you do if your childcare provider closed down? What would you do if you got a notice saying that that you've got 2 weeks to find alternate arrangements? Would it mean that you would have to find substandard care for your child? Would it mean you would have to leave the workforce altogether? These are questions that, frankly, Wisconsin families are grappling with daily at this point.
Those are really tough questions. And when you look at that 32% drop in centers, I wonder, what is the situation like with waiting lists now?
Waiting lists in every area of the state are miles long. I've heard stories from mothers and prospective parents in every part of the state that say that they are planning pregnancies and births around years to come open slots at childcare centers. So obviously something needs to change if we are going to solve through this for working parents. The picture improves ever so slightly in the 3 to 5 age range, but it's those infant and toddler spots that are highly precious resources. And that's exacerbated when I travel the state. There are world-class centers and they tour me through a center, and then they show me the two rooms with the lights turned off because they're not able to find available staff to work in those classrooms. So not only do people want to come into these centers and the waiting lists are a mile long, but that waiting list is exacerbated by the fact that we have a staffing crisis and we're not able to actually get the lights on in those rooms to get parents off the waiting list.
But wasn't the federal pandemic aid, the federal pandemic relief, supposed to stabilize that situation, supposed to be able to help retain staff and provide raises and retention bonuses? What happened there?
Absolutely. So yes, we were fortunate, just like every other state in the country, to receive pandemic aid, stabilization aid in the form of ARPA dollars, federal ARPA dollars. And We, as a state, collectively put over $356 million into a program called Child Care Counts. And that was intended to do exactly as you said, to stabilize the industry and to ensure that we don't have centers closing because they can't, you know, they can't keep the lights on. Structured around two different programs, one to really focus on ensuring that high quality care continues, the other part of the program really to continue investing in our workforce, investing in bonuses or raises for staff. Now, the good news about the Child Care Counts program in the state of Wisconsin is the program did exactly what it was designed to do, which was stabilize the industry. So slot for slot, we don't see any change in the amount of capacity that we had pre-pandemic. Unfortunately, as I sort of
wait, can you explain? I'm sorry, can you explain that a little bit more? Slot for slot, what you're seeing there?
So, yeah. Across the state, we have not seen a decline in the number of slots that we had pre-pandemic. So the program stabilized the current landscape. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the current landscape pre-pandemic was not adequate for working families. And I think that what the pandemic did is laid bare the issues that families have been struggling with for the last 10 years, which is just there aren't enough there isn't enough childcare available in their communities for the number of working families there are, and the care that does exist is too expensive. And we've got workforce challenges that are keeping folks out of this profession because it's such a historically low-paid sector.
So Governor Tony Evers wanting to continue the stabilization of child care counts in the state budget, I'm just wondering what happens if that program does sunset in December?
Well, we would be bracing for an absolutely terrible fiscal cliff. It would really take what has been the lifeline for a lot of providers across the state and rip out that piece of their funding stream. We have lots of data that shows that that centers across our state, family providers, this is about a quarter to a third of their current revenue stream.
Third of their revenue stream. That's significant.
It's absolutely significant. And, different from provider to provider. But I think what you're seeing, you know, we've seen a lot of surveys out there already asking providers, what will you do with this funding if this funding does sunset at the end of the ARPA stabilization? And folks say, well, we would be forced to raise rates probably somewhere in the neighborhood of, 30 to 50%, I've seen. We've also seen a lot of folks talking about just closing up shop altogether. And our data shows that about 60% of centers would grapple with that rate increase on families that already feel like they're paying too much. And another 32% would seriously consider closing their doors.
Talking about childcare in Wisconsin with Emily Amundson, head of the State Department of Children and Families, you can join in the conversation. Add your question at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Amundson, you touched on this a little bit, but, family planning. Last month, the Northeastern Wisconsin News Collaboration, they reported families in the region are planning pregnancies around the availability of childcare, and that's resulting in smaller families. How else is limited access to childcare affecting communities?
Yeah, thanks for that question. This is something that has just been highlighted over and over in the state that, this is a famous story from over in Western Wisconsin where there was a doctor with four children under the age of five that had accepted a position, was going to move and work in a hospital over in rural Western Wisconsin. And when this family discovered that there wasn't available care, they pulled out of the contract and they ultimately never came to the state. And It's stories like that. It's the stories of families that are looking at wanting to settle, move to small towns across the state, but it's that lack of available infrastructure, childcare, transportation, housing, that keeps families from making that decision. You know, we're a declining state here in terms of the number of folks, in terms of the number of births and families. And I think it's the small towns across Wisconsin that stand to lose in this deal if we can't build those infrastructure pieces that attract families back to small towns. On top of that, we've got a workforce challenge across the state. We've got on average, you know, two open positions for every applicant, for every willing, working, seeking job seeker. And we really can't afford, if there are folks out there that want to work, then we've got to get them into the workforce. And I understand that every family is different. There may be families that are actively making the choice to have a parent stay at home with kids, and that's a fantastic choice to make. But for those folks who feel like they can't make any other choice but to keep somebody home, I talk to a lot of moms, frankly, who they want to be working, and then they crunch the numbers and they realize if that childcare cost goes up even by 10%, 20%, it just doesn't make sense to keep that parent working. And that's what we're leaving on the table as a state from an economic perspective when we're not investing in childcare. And I think increasingly businesses are waking up to this idea.
More data there on the cost of tuition. Economic Policy Institute estimates a year of infant care can cost Wisconsinites more than $12,500. You mentioned Child Care Counts program. That federal aid has been, you know, keeping the tuition from soaring. How could child care be made more affordable when, you know, you could potentially predict 30 to 50% increases in tuition?
Sure. So I think that's where the long-term benefit. So if what I've heard from a lot of providers across the state is what's keeping providers from you know, making the raises to their staff permanent, mm-hmm. is the idea that this program could sunset with the ARPA dollars. So if we were able to forecast for our providers that this funding is in statute, it's GPR funding, and it's permanent, and it's going to be part of their economic picture long term, mm-hmm. they will make different decisions with this funding. They will be able to grow. They will be able to add on. They will be able to give staff those benefits packages that are so highly sought after, and those long-term raises. And I think what we'll see is much more confidence in growing the system than we do when this is just simply a relief program.
Emily Amundson, Secretary of the State Department of Children and Families, call in with a question. Share about your child care situation, your experience. Call anytime through the discussion. The number is 800-642-1234. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss Wisconsin's child care system as the state's two-year budget comes together. We have the head of the state agency responsible for licensing and monitoring child care centers in the state, Department of Children and Family Secretary Emily Amundson, is here. Call in with your question, your thoughts on child care in Wisconsin. The number to call, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Secretary Amundson, I'm going to play some tape here. The head of a child care program in Western Wisconsin partially linked the financial challenges that centers are experiencing to the growth of 4K programs in the state. And here is Renee Ersting on PBS Wisconsin, and Renee is with Child Care Partnership.
you're not making any money with infant and toddler care. The ratios, which I don't want changed, are a 4-to-1. And so 4 infants to 1 adult. So you're sustaining your business, but you're not making any money. You're really looking at the amount of money that's coming in on 4-year-olds or 3 or 4-year-olds, because you can have over 20 of them in, you know, per teacher.
What is your response there? Do state regulations or funding for childcare need adjusting after the growth of 4K in public schools?
Yeah, I think this is a long-term conversation between our department and our friends over at the Department of Public Instruction, and certainly these two communities. It's a wonderful benefit that we have in the state of Wisconsin to have 4K as part of most, if not all, school districts across the state. But it has undoubtedly played a role in that decline that I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, that 32% decline. It has had a destabilizing effect in the ultimate bottom line of a center because of the ratios that the provider mentioned. It's just the way that industry had made the numbers work. And so what it's frankly asking of us, I think, as policymakers, is to really create that kind of relationship, that GPR relationship, general purpose revenue relationship, that we have on the K-12 side. We don't invest any state dollars in childcare. And so I think that's the new conversation. That's really what Governor Evers is looking at with this budget proposal, is to really start to say, we need to look at childcare the way that we look at public school, and that's as a public good, as a piece of infrastructure.
But just a bit of nuance here, the state curriculum for 4K is offered through some childcare centers. Don't the dollars follow the child in that situation?
So yes, they do, but it's because 4K is a part-time program.
Mm-hmm.
Those dollars flow on a part-time basis. And so that, a lot of centers are able to sort of build around and buoy around that state funding. But some are not able to do that. Because of the fact that a lot of school districts have ultimately made the decision to retain the 4K program as part of the school district, they haven't created that partnership with child care centers. And so there are a lot of child care centers out there that do not have that that relationship to the school district.
Okay. Heard from Claire in Eau Claire, emailed and says that they're a woman in their 30s, and Claire has found many of their friends are choosing not to have children due to the cost. What is your reaction to that?
Unfortunately, I have heard that too many times to be surprised. And I just, I remember my own family planning when I was in my early 30s, and it was a conversation that I had with centers in the greater Madison area to find out where I would be on the wait list to even start that conversation around family planning. And that's a new circumstance, I would say, for young families in our state. And it's an unfortunate byproduct of, I think, the state that we're in.
Talking about childcare with Emily Amundson, head of the State Department of Children and Families, you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I want to turn to the role of businesses, business and industry here. I mean, the governor urging $22 million for the Partner Up program, and says the program has helped more than 200 employers partner with childcare providers to make care more affordable for their staff, for their employees. Why should state tax dollars be subsidizing the childcare of Wisconsin employers?
Well, I think, again, it comes back to that that question of, is childcare part of the infrastructure that we ought to build if we want to increase local economies? And I think that what businesses across the state are saying is we want to be part of solving through this challenge that we hear our employees are having. We just need a way to start. We need a better understanding of how we can help. And I've had a lot of conversations with the employers who, you know, they jump right to the idea of, oh, we better open a center on site. Well, that's about the most difficult thing that you can do. What we're urging employers to start with is, why don't you start by treating this as part of your family-friendly package? You know, there are employers across the state who win awards for being family friendly. Let childcare be part of that family friendly package. And so this is intended to be kind of an on-ramp into thinking about childcare as part of that package. You know, as this program continues, the employer would pick up more of the cost of care, the state would pick up less of the cost of care, but it gives employers a way to start helping.
Do you see any momentum from employers in this direction? Are businesses starting to do this thing that is making it more supportive, putting more of those businesses' resources into helping to fund their workers' childcare needs?
Absolutely. I was just at a manufacturing company up in the Stevens Point area, and they said, you know, we've got three manufacturing companies on this block that are all competing for the same talent, and yet we are noted as a family-friendly business, and that means they offer childcare benefit. They've got an on-site clinic. And they're really asking their employees, what can we do to be more family friendly? They win, they said, 9 times out of 10 in the competition for high quality talent because of that family friendly policy. And I think when businesses get on board with family friendly policies, they're going to win in the competition for employees.
Secretary Amundson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Emily Amundson is Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.